This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Redbird Recap is sponsored by Helitech Waterproofing and Foundation Repair. Heal your home with Helitech.
Time to join Tom Ackerman at the sports desk. Tom, a walk-off homer yesterday for the Cardinals against the Brewers, their second straight win against that division rival. Tell us about the game.
Well, and not just from anybody, but from Nolan Arenado, which makes you feel like he has still a lot left in the tank. Arenado, who was shopped to during the offseason, actually there was a trade in place for him with the Houston Astros. He rejected it, ended up not getting traded to the Red Sox or anywhere else, and stayed in St. Louis, and feels like he has something to prove. Arenado with a big home run off Trevor McGill in the ninth inning, and the Cardinals won the ball game 6-5, and it was a great game and a frustrating game in many ways. The Cardinals were up 5-0 and ended up blowing that lead. Ryan Helsley entered with a 5-3 lead, but he blew the save for the second time in six chances. Isaac Collins with a single to lead off the ninth. And then Jackson Churia, who had four hits in this game. He was a phenomenal player last year, and you always have to be careful of him, as here he is ready to have another great year. He had three RBIs, including a two-run bomb, sixth homer of the season on a first-pitch slider off Helsley. But then Arenado, who is a superstar throughout his career, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, he's going to be in Cooperstown, and he hits his third home run of the season in the bottom of the ninth on a 97.8-mile-an-hour fastball from McGill. And, Scott, it was a big one. The Cardinals finally win consecutive games. They finally have a series win, and now they can go for a sweep against the team that they've been chasing now for the last couple of years, the Milwaukee Brewers, who have lost four in a row. Sonny Gray allows three runs. He walks three, gives up seven hits, but in six innings, he gives the Cardinals a chance. They aren't able to hold that lead, as I mentioned, but they get the win 6-5. And you know what, Scott? This Cardinals team is not perfect. They're far from it, but they're very interesting. They're entertaining. They're likable. The players are a lot of fun, and you can see that. They believe in each other. Now, they're not destined or picked to do much, but they are entertaining, and you just never know if things start to come together for them. Could they go on some sort of a run? You'd like for all those games to be at home, though. I mean, it's amazing to me how good they are at home and how poor they are on the road. There's no explanation for it, really, but the Cardinals are excellent at home. They now have won 10 games at home. They're 10-4 at Busch Stadium, but they're 2-11 away from Busch Stadium.
Right. That could just be a random type streak, but we'll find out in the next few weeks. That division, though, is certainly going to be up for grabs. The Cubs have a little bit of a lead, but otherwise it's pretty compact between the other four teams.
Well, and I've stayed away from that, to be honest with you, because I think I mentioned this on the air a few weeks ago. I actually felt a lot better when I started to just look at the development of players, and I haven't even mentioned standings on the station in a while. I mean, I can if you want to, but they're not at this
too
point
early
to me. Yeah, I might not even do it because I look at the development of individuals. Now, if that comes together and they start to make a run here, of course we're going to talk about that. But I think that I've cratered my expectations necessarily, but they're a lot lower. And if I start talking about them being a World Series contender or anything like that, I just don't feel it. I mean, the Cardinals are a team that I think they're a lot of fun. I think they have clearly sent a message of what they're trying to do. They're trying to grow younger players and give them the opportunity to be great. For a long time, and I'm going to get into this now to talk about somebody who I had so much respect for, Walt Jocketty came in and really shook some things up in the mid-90s when he was hired by Bill DeWitt Jr., that ownership group, and he made some bold moves. I mean, the Cardinals have followed that pattern for years, but they're not in that current state where he went out, he made the trade for Mark McGwire. Well, first he gets Tony La Russa, then he makes the trade for Mark McGwire, the Cardinals and McGwire, even though now we know it was steroid-fueled. But at the time, you know, it revived baseball, what he did with Sammy Sosa chasing the home run record. Then in 2000, he makes a flurry of deals for Jim Edmonds and Daryl Kyle and Mike Matheny and Dave Veers. And all these players start coming in. And the 2000 Cardinals also add Will Clark. And then, you know, they start to have this postseason success. 2004, they have one of the greatest teams in the franchise's history. I'd call them a top five Cardinals team of all time. 2004, when he acquired Larry Walker to add to Scott Rolen, who he traded for in 2003, and Albert Pujols and Jim Edmonds and that pitching staff and Edgar Renteria. I mean, it was just a star-studded lineup that ended up winning the World Series 2 years later in 06. Walt Jocketty was a gentleman, Scott. He was one of my favorite people to deal with. I can say from a personal standpoint, and you know, when I was 22 years old, I got hired by KMOX. I was a nobody. I mean, I was just a kid that they basically pulled in to work behind the scenes. But I produced for Ron Jacober on Sports on a Sunday morning, and I got to talk to Walt on the phone before I put him on the air with Ron. And we struck up a friendship, and, you know, I'm just so grateful. I mean, he treated me like I was really important. And every time I saw him at the ballpark, and I'm young. I mean, I'm 22, 23. Again, I'm just a kid. And he treated me like a professional, like I belonged. And for somebody of that level to treat you that way is memorable. You think about that all the time. And he left a great impact on me. And I know that he did that for so many people in our business. So I know everyone's going to talk about Walt Jocketty's accomplishments, and there are many. But to me, it was the way that he treated people as well, that he was a true classy professional gentleman in our business.
Well, appreciate those words. And the person that reminds me in my life is Dean Smith, the former coach of the Tar Heels. He was a gentleman and always treated me with respect. And you know, I was a young reporter at the time, so I appreciate those words.
Yeah, I know that you did. You know, you did a lot of those Tar Heels shows, and I was in that same boat handling Cardinals shows. And, you know, he would listen, and he would, you know, I mean, he didn't always agree with what I was saying. Don't get me wrong, but he always was up for a discussion and just so kind in everything that he did. And, you know, agents talk about it. Other GMs talk about it. Making deals with Walt Jocketty was a pleasure. I mean, even if he won them, and he did. He won some deals. He got Adam Wainwright, let's not forget, from the Atlanta Braves and so many more.
All right, let's talk a little Blues. Playoff game number four coming up at noon today. Speaking of home and away, the Blues have been very good at home, and they had a flurry of goals. So how would you assess where they are in the series right now?
Boy, did they look good in that game. They just were dishing out hits left and right, and I think that was so big for them. And I worried about them wearing out by delivering so many hits. In their second period, they kind of kept things stable. They weren't as aggressive necessarily in terms of scoring, but they were still hitting, and they hit throughout the game. I think you'll expect much of the same. They're going to try to wear this Winnipeg team out, and it's a good, good Winnipeg team that will be ready to go, I'm certain, and try to come roaring back in this thing. But the Blues have scorers. That's the thing. And if they can get the puck on net, they're going to be very successful. The way you win in the playoffs is by scoring on rebounds. And that was basically, I mean, he was on the right side of the net on a flurry right in front of it, how they scored within the first minute of the game, Pavel Buchnevich scoring. They needed Buch to be as good as he possibly can be. He's a playoff-type player, without a doubt. And they just started doing it. You know, Buch scores the first two goals of the game. Cam Fowler comes in there. He had a phenomenal game on defense for the Blues. They, of course, are dealing with an injury to Robert Thomas, but he delivers four assists in the game. I mean, they have playmakers and scorers on this team. We know they're good defensively, and they have an all-world goaltender in Jordan Binnington. But they showed in that game three that they can score in a hurry. And they did that, of course, later in the game too, with Kyrou adding on to what Buchnevich started, etc. So the Blues, they'll have to be strong 5-on-5 as they obviously want to be. They have to make sure they don't take silly penalties to put themselves at a disadvantage. If they can keep this 5-on-5 as much as possible, get power play goals, control possession of the puck, you know, all those things that help you win in the playoffs, I think they can do this today. They'll play this game at noon, shortly thereafter, get the place rocking, it will be, and try to get this thing back to Winnipeg in a 2-2 series.
Another team in town that isn't scoring, though, is City SC. I think they signed a forward. What is going on with the lack of scoring there?
Well, I think they're playing a defensive game, and they've been snake-bit a little bit. They had two goals called back in consecutive weeks on offsides calls. One of them I thought was a phantom call, and Lutz Vanenseel agreed that the other one was as well. I don't know that he used those words, but he was a little flustered by the fact that they've been called back twice. But, you know, this is also on them that they've not been able to score. I think they look better, more organized. It's a really good team that they played last time. I mean, they played Vancouver, best team in Major League Soccer, and played them to a scoreless draw. I don't see any problem with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you hold the other team to no goals and they're the best team in MLS, totally fine with that. So I think they can walk away from that one feeling okay. But, yeah, they do have to find a way to generate more offense, and that is sometimes being more aggressive, taking a chance. But they can't leave the rock that is their defense. And eventually, when they do have a healthy Roman Berkey playing all the time, that's going to be a welcome sight, consecutive weeks of Roman Berkey. So we'll see how this all goes for them. Hopefully they can find a way to score a little bit more today. They play at 6 o'clock against LAFC on Y98 on the road today. But we'll have Lutz on the show today at 11:15.
The Battlehawks got a win yesterday against Michigan. How are they this year?
They're fine. I mean, they lost back-to-back games, but they're a good team. So Hakeem Butler is back with them, that big, tall receiver. They needed him, and he is back and made two touchdown catches. One of them, first catch he made, he went 67 yards for the touchdown. I think they need to just get settled in here, get themselves some offensive rhythm. Now that he's in play, that changes the game a little bit. If you're a defense, you got to pay more attention to Butler. You know, run the football, try to balance it out. But they're a good team. They beat Michigan. They now get a big win. And the best thing is that they draw to me. I mean, I love the team and all, but I just love the fact that they lead the way by far in UFL attendance figures. Drew over 30,000 at the Dome yesterday. It's going to serve them well. It'll help them. And then they move into the playoffs with a chance to host the championship game at the Dome. They had this opportunity last year and lost it. We'll see if they can do it.
What's coming up? Sports on a Sunday morning.
Sports on a Sunday morning's a big one. We're going to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals walk-off winner, Nolan Arenado, as we just did for the first 7 minutes of this segment. It's worth talking about. I think they're a fun team, but we're also going to pay tribute to Walt Jocketty. Just an incredible man. We'll hear from Ron Jacober at 10:15, John Mozeliak at 11:30, and Bernie Mikkels at 11:45. On Walt Jocketty. We'll relive the 1987 Cardinals with Doug Feldman. We have the Blues CEO Chris Zimmerman. We have Lutz Vanenseel. Big show today from 10 to 12 on KMOX.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, buddy.
Tom Ackerman. It's Total Information AM Sunday coming up in the next hour. We'll have Johnny Rabbit, Roaming St. Louis, and Three Good Things, among other features on the program. We're gonna ride till they're